What's up with that? We said it last week. That's not me. We all know that, okay? What's up with that? It's been the series, and we've looked at several things, and we just want to do a little quick review with you. If you're visiting for the first time, we won't take much time. But we looked at why the cross, why the blood, why did Jesus Christ shed His blood for us? And what is it with God and blood? Well, we found out that Jesus died on that cross for us. Because our physical blood, even though there's life in the blood, sure, that physical blood can never get you to heaven. I tell you what, it'll get you life right here, and it'll keep you living right here. Without it, you ain't got a dog's chance while you're on this earth. But as good as this blood is, it's not going to get you to heaven. Our blood in us, friend, it's cursed. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God, and that's why Jesus Christ came. There's blood of animals in the Bible, but the blood of animals could never get you to heaven. It was a picture, a foreshadowing of what would come, and that was Jesus Christ who would die on the cross. And though I don't understand it totally, nor do you, quite frankly, but somehow, some way, Jesus Christ entered into the holiness of God with His sacrifice, and God accepted His payment for our sin. And that's how we get to heaven. And that's why the cross and why the blood. Second thing we saw was, why me? Why would He do that for me? Why me? Why would God care about sorry, no good old me? I tell you why He cares about you and cares about me. Because He loves you. And because He has a reason for your life and for my life. And we talked about that. Then we looked at why the Bible. Why the Bible? Why do we insist on staying with this old book and preaching the Word of God instead of preaching Newsweek or Time or the National Enquirer or whatever? Why do we stick with this book right here, not every whim that comes along? And why haven't we chose some of these new prophets that's come along, like the Jehovah's Witness, and Mormons and people like that? We stay with this book, my friend, right here. The Word of the Living God. That's all we've got. If you think we got something else, we don't. That's it. The Bible. And we stick with it. And let me tell you about the Bible. It establishes, can you say that with me? It establishes the foundation of our faith. And we saw that. Last week we talked about prayer. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. Establishes the foundation. Last week we talked about prayer. Why pray? Are you kidding? You talk to a God you can't see. You actually bow your head and like talk and... And I even said, I walk and talk, and I ride down the road and talk to the Lord. Are you crazy? Yeah, I'm crazy. Call me crazy. Amen? And we talked about last week why pray. And I think we made a pretty good case last week on why we should pray. Amen? And so, if the Bible is the establishing of our faith, then prayer is the, say it with me, the exercise of our faith. You come to Christ through the Word. You hear about Jesus through the Bible, or somebody quoted you the Bible. That's how you hear about Him. And that's how you get your faith established. But then as you pray, you're putting that into exercise. You're moving it into another gear. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and look at it, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And we do that through prayer. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So we've seen several things so far. So just a quick review for you. Now let's go to the message today. Uh-oh! Why give? I mean, I was cool with you, preacher, till you got that giving thing. Why give? That is a question that the world has. Oh boy, do they ever. They have that question. Like, you give money to church, you're a freak, you're a fool, you're a nut. Guess why I know they say that? Because that's what I said. Sure enough. We're going to talk about it today. Why give? And specifically, I mean, why give? Let's be honest. Why give money to a church? Why give money to God? And anybody that's been around here any length of time knows that I don't harp on money. Because you know what? If it means building this church that I've got to harp and browbeat you into doing something, I'll find something else to do. Amen? I think we ought to do this because we love Jesus Christ and we're pure and we're honest and we want to make a difference in our community, in our world. And I don't think I have to browbeat anybody to get them to do something like that. Okay? So that's why you don't hear me harp on money. Just as a little review for you that might be with us today visiting, or you've been a couple of times, we take three offerings up a month here, three Sundays, and that's how we meet our needs here. The fourth Sunday goes to the future. That's what we're doing. And quite frankly, when we kick off this capital campaign to build our new building, we're not only going to just give one a month, we're going to up it a little. So hang on, boy, it's going to require some faith. Amen? But we can do it. But why give? Let's talk about it today. Why give? It's the evidence of our faith. Wait a minute. Now, the Bible establishes our faith. Prayer is the exercise in our faith. Giving is the what? Evidence of our faith. Oh, talk is cheap, my friend. That's where it came from. Talk is cheap. But listen, when we give, we show forth the evidence that something is different inside of us and we have a Savior and we care more about others than just ourselves. Okay? And that's what we're saying. It is the evidence of our faith. Let's look at some Scripture. Every gift comes from God, James 1:17. These are just some preliminaries before we get into the message. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything that you have is a gift from who?
God.
That's it. So every gift comes from God. Secondly, the Bible says in the book of James, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Look at it. 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I mean, it's easy to talk. But Christianity, friend, is giving. Christianity is doing. Christianity is serving. Christianity is living. Are you with me so far? You understand? And giving is part of the evidence of our faith that something has happened to a stingy old rascal like Gary Clark. Jesus came in and Jesus got in my pocket. Amen? And it's great. I love the change that He's made in my life. I want to care for others more than just always be self-centered. I'm thankful for that in my life, and I know that you are as well. Something else about why give. Faith without works is dead. This is just a little bit of stuff in James, just to get our plate wet here just a little bit. Here goes, James 2:14 through 20. What does it profit a man, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works, can faith save him? Look, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, now depart in peace. God bless you, sister. Be warmed and filled. That's a lot of talk. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What difference did it make all that speech you just gave? Does that make sense to you? That's what James says. But watch it. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. I'm not saying a person that doesn't give and serve and love and reach out is not a Christian. But I am saying this, their faith is deader than a hammer. It ain't doing a whole lot of good. They've got their get out of hell free card. But it's not necessarily impacting their world. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, James says, under the inspiration of the Spirit. Thou believest there's one God. A lot of people say, I believe in God. James says, yeah, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. What I'm saying and what James is saying, there's a little bit more to this than just talking. It's walking. It's living. It's serving. It's giving. Amen? Look at this one. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Dead. Okay. So, I don't know. Is it possible to shut those outer doors, if you don't mind, so I don't hear a racket coming in? Thank you. I appreciate it. It's hard to keep Clark's attention. Like I say, if that door's ever wide open, I see an ice cream truck or something coming by. We're history. We're toast. Thank you so much. Here we go. So now the message. Why give? Why give? And folks, I want to give this message to you today. And so far, even so far this morning, some of the scriptures from James might have shot at you just like bullets. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, that's the Bible. That's what the Bible does. It's like a two-edged sword. It pierces and cuts. It divides. It cuts out stuff in us that shouldn't be there, and it heals us. Amen? It's fabulous. But what I want to do now with this message, I want to be personal. I want to share with you some things that I just believe about giving that comes from the Scriptures and how it's impacted my life. And I'd like to encourage you, as if somebody were to come up to me and say, why do you give money to church? I want to have this message in such a way that I'm just talking to somebody that asked me that question. And you can do what you want to do. This is a choice I've made. It's a choice I've made with my life. And before we get started, I could do something else with my life. We could be building buildings that were being built for my business, if I had a business. Okay? It'd be no problem. Instead of giving away your gospel, I could be selling stuff. What I'm saying is, this is a choice I've made. Living for Christ, being a pastor, loving the Lord is a choice I've made because He has loved me and He's put His call on my life. And not everybody's going to do just what I do and have the determination or the call like I've got. But I think when it comes to giving, all of us ought to give. All of us ought to be a part of other people's lives and reaching out. So I want to approach it from that angle. Why should I give money to God? If that ain't dumb. I should sure hear people out there say, that's stupid. You buy you a jet ski. You buy you a boat. I remember years ago, my wife saying something. We had a neighbor that got a fancy car. Woo, it was fancy. And my wife said something about it. And I think she was hinting. And I told her, I said, guess what? I can buy you that car if we quit tithing. I'll buy that car and another one almost just like it with what we give to the Lord. If that's what you want. And she said, huh, that definitely ain't what we want to do. We won't keep giving to the Lord. Amen. And that was way back when. And I'm going to tell you a little personal things later. Don't think I'm a spiritual, super spiritual giver because it just didn't happen that way. We're going to share it a little bit later. So why do I give money to God? Here it is. Number one, say it with me. Because I am motivated to. I give, and I think you should give, because we are motivated to. Let's look at some things. We're motivated by Jesus Christ. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became what? Poor, that you through His poverty might be what? Rich. I am motivated because Jesus Christ came from heaven's portals, gave His life on Calvary's cross for an old sinner like me. That motivates me. It motivates me to want to serve and to give and to live for Him. Let's look at this quote. Why don't you say it with me? Say it with me. Our Lord became what He was not. That's poor. So that we might become what we are not. That's rich. Say it one more time with me. Come on. Reminds me of that little Ashley girl on that TV show. Here we go. Our Lord became what He was not. That's poor. So that we might become what we are not. That's rich. That motivates Clarkster. That motivates me. I get motivation from my Savior laying down His life for me and loving me and caring for me. And that is a chief motivator in my life for me to give to Him and to give to His work. Let's look at another one. I'm motivated by God the Father. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Amen. How about the verse? We know this one. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son. You know what that does for me? That motivates me. That motivates me to want to give, to want to be a part, to reach out to help. It motivates me. Number three, I'm motivated by the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I want you to watch this carefully. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. A willing mind. Look at this other scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposes in his what? Heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I am motivated by the Holy Spirit as He works in my mind, as He works in my heart. That motivates me to change my mind from being just concerned about me and just what I can buy for me and get for me. He has changed my mind. And now it's a willing mind to give. He has changed my heart to, instead of give because I got to do it because I want to. The Holy Spirit has motivated me and made a change in my life. So why should we give? Because we're motivated to. Look at this one. I'm motivated to give because of the examples of others. 2 Corinthians 8:1-5, the Apostle Paul writing gives us his example and how it touched his life. Look at it. Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Poor people. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were poor, but they gave like crazy. For to their power our bear record, and yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves to give, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. I mean, they didn't even want to take the gift. They knew they were so poor. They prayed, please take our gift. We want to give. And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So why do I give? Now listen to me. Hang in here with me. It's important. Why do I give? Because I'm motivated to. By Jesus, by God the Father, by the Holy Spirit, by the example of others. I want to just give you a couple of stories right quick. I grew up in Rockingham, North Carolina. Didn't grow up in a Christian home. Poor as dirt. How many grew up poor as dirt? Can I see your hand? Let's relate. Amen. There we go. Poor as dirt. Did you know you were poor? Half of you didn't even know it, did you? You know? You didn't know eating lunch meat on with mustard on a plate, no bread, nothing like that was good stuff. You just thought it was good, man. Good. See, we were dumb. We didn't know what was going on. But listen, grew up like that. Mom and dad, alcoholics. Didn't go to church. My mama ran around with my daddy. It was common knowledge. And then mama and daddy divorced when I was 11. I have six brothers and sisters. They're all older than I am. Long story short, after she divorced daddy, she had been cheating on him with this one man, so this man moved in the house and started living in the house with us. And then about 3 years after that, I was about 14 and a half, 15 years old, mama married him. Okay? It was a mess. The whole thing was a mess. There wasn't anything good about it at all. Bad. The whole deal. So she married this man, and what goes around comes around. It won't, but a few months later, he's out cheating on her like he did before and she did on daddy. And so one night she's sitting in the living room in a recliner, drunk as a skunk, normal scene, Pabst Blue Ribbons all around, cans all around the reclining chair, the old television in the corner in the den. I can see it to this day. And I come in after hell-raising and partying with my teenage friends about 11 o'clock at night, and there's Mama. She looks up at me and says, "We're going to church in the morning." You know, whoa! And here's the deal. I looked at her and said, "You're an idiot." And I talked to her like that. And that's not right, kids, but that's the way I felt. Maybe you feel that way sometimes. And that's what I did. She said, "We're going to church." And what had happened? She was sitting there drunk and before the days of remote control, and Billy Graham came on television. And so she was a captive audience. The gospel got through. And somehow, some way, Mama knew, there's hope. There's hope. I don't have to live like this. There's hope in Jesus Christ. She didn't understand a thing, but she knew we were going to church. We didn't have a car. So the next morning, she got up. We never went to church. This was totally, I mean, golly, who would have ever thunk it? You know? So the next morning, we get up. She's clanging pots and pans. I go, "Oh my gosh, she's serious. She wasn't just drunk." You know? So I didn't know what to wear. And that's one of the reasons I like us to be able to dress casual at Fellowship Church. Because I remember very clearly Satan using in my mind, "You don't have anything to wear. You don't." Is that true or what? "You don't have anything to wear." And so I pulled out some old sky blue, good grief, leisure suit. You know? We're to wear that one day. And I walked to church with Mama. Here's why I went. Here's why I went. Here it is. This is what the devil put in my head. So some preacher wouldn't steal our last dollar. That's why I went to church with my mama. So some preacher wouldn't steal our last dollar. Lo and behold, we went. Long story short, the people were nice. 3 weeks later, both my mother and I are gloriously saved. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the rest is history. Amen? Phenomenal. But my mama stayed married to that man. I'm talking about the example of others, okay? My mama stayed married to that man, and he became her chief persecutor. And many of you know that that man murdered my mother 11 years ago and took my mother's life. But I want to tell you something. Prior to that time, from the time my mother became a Christian to those 17 years that she could walk with Christ, she became just an example of a fine Christian woman. It was unbelievable. And one of the things that marked my mother's life was giving. This man she was married to had quite a bit of money, but he was a very mean, cruel individual, abusive. I didn't know he had physically abused my mother, but certainly he was abusive in the way that he lived and the way that he did things to my mother. However, he told my mother, "You pay all the bills. I got all the money. We'll save that. You pay all the bills on your meager Social Security check." My mother was disabled. So she paid the bills. She had nothing. But she had in her heart, "I want to give. I want to give." And it was something that just screamed out of my mother. She wanted to give back to other people what she had been given. And so what happened? These are silly stories to some people. They're not silly to me. My mother would ride along the road or walk along the road, and she would pick up stuff people were throwing out. How many have ever seen me pick up stuff by the road? I come by it honest, man. I hate to see people wasting good stuff, don't you? Listen, one day some fella saw me, and he said he thought it was me, and all he saw was my rear end in a dumpster. But it looked like my rear end, he said. I was at a carpet place getting me some carpet for a truck. You know why I go buy a new carpet? When you get new carpet out of a carpet gun, just cut it up and put it in the truck. That's what I did. It's the way we did it. Did anybody else do stuff like that other than just me? All right. Mama did stuff like that, and then she would take it to the middle of town to a flea market every Saturday, and she would sell it. Not for herself, but she would sell it so that she could give to church, so that she could give to other people. There was a place in my old country home where you pull an old curtain back in one corner of a room, and there was all kinds of supplies and canned goods and things like that. And Mama would let missionaries come to the house and take canned food. And my mother was the kind of person that would take the school teachers that taught at the little Christian school. She'd take them a bag. Now, this is sort of embarrassing maybe, but she'd take them a bag of toilet paper, toothpaste, feminine products. Boy, I could never do that. You know? Mama did it! She did that for those people because she wanted to give. That blessed my heart. Do you understand where I'm coming from? God has blessed me because of the examples of others. One last thing my mama did. She went to the people in her church, the ladies, and she said this. She said, I rebate. Have we got any rebaters in the building? She said, I rebate. And she said, and some of these ladies, they ain't going to do that. They're not going to get that form and fill that thing out. Mama said, I'll do it if we can give the money to other folks. And so they would bring their receipts and their toothpaste boxes and their Tide boxes, and Mama would rebate. And did you know, after my mother was murdered, for 6 months, I got rebate checks. And I never cashed them, those ones after her death. To me, they were precious. But she would do that because I was a minister of the gospel, and she just wanted to make sure she knew how I like to go out and eat breakfast. And she would send me a little rebate check. I have been motivated to give. Amen? I'd feel like a dirty dog if I didn't give. I'd feel like my mom would be slapping me up in heaven when I walk in. You know? So, I give because of the examples of others. I want to give one other example, and that's my wife. Where are you at? You're right. Wave at us, will you, baby? Okay? I give because of my wife's example. I've been motivated by that woman. And some of you have heard this story, but when we first got married, I'd come out of that hellhole environment I grew up in. She'd come out of a, quote, what looked to be a lily white preacher family, which they ain't, okay? Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, I got a preacher son clapping. There we go. But you know what? It was like two cats in a cage being thrown together. And I remember I was at school, I was at a university that also had a church ministry of over 10,000 members. And I'm paying to go to this university, and Joy comes to me and says, we need to tithe. We need to what? Tithe. We need to give to God 10%. And I'm like, you a crazy woman. You see, Mama's impact hadn't got on me yet, okay? It hadn't changed me yet. And I said, you're crazy. We're not going to do that. I'm paying money to go to college to be a minister. That's good enough. That's plenty. We're starving to death, lady. Didn't I say that? And we had a knockdown, drag-out brawl. You know, not physically, but boy, we didn't like each other. And my wife said to me, I said, we're not doing it. She said, I wasn't raised that way. And she said, that's not right and it's not biblical. You've got to do the right thing. And she said, let's just do it for 3 months and you'll see. November, we'll be married 21 years. You know what? And she was right. She was right. Clark don't look like he's lost. I mean, I've lost some weight, but I sure ain't starving to death. Amen? God's been good to me. He's been good to me. I'm motivated to give. Boy, I love giving because it's a great thing to give by the examples of others. One last one I was motivated by, and that was my wife's dad, Pastor Metz. He poured his life into me. Poured his life into me. Never one time can I ever remember that he ever griped about giving to somebody. Never. He would give anything in his pockets. He would give it all away. He didn't care. He taught me. He taught me how to give and how to give happily. And we'd even every once in a while, you know how preachers, we're not perfect, that's for sure. And preacher would tell, the pastor Mitch would tell me sometimes how an old stingy preacher, I remember one comes right to name, I ain't going to mention him, but he said, that man's stingy. He don't give nothing. I mean, if you go out, go ahead and figure it, you're going to buy everything. You know? But that was that man's reputation. But that was certainly not Pastor Met's reputation. And so, why do I give and why do I believe in giving? I believe because I've been motivated. Now, I know I spent a lot of time on that. I'm sorry, but I want you to see it's personal with me. Here, let's go now. Why should I give? Are y'all all right? You still alive? Okay, good. Here we go. Why should I give money to God? And let's move quickly now. Because of the results. Look at it. It blesses others. When you give, it blesses others. For the administration of this service, 2 Corinthians 9:12, not only supplies the want of the saints, but it's abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Why give? Because it blesses folk. Number two, why give? It blesses me. Can I get an amen out of that? Come on, a hand raising something. Have you been blessed because you've been giving? Say. God just blessed you. Amen. And if you're here today and you're not prone to give, listen, I know what that's like. Man, I was in that club, okay? But I want you to know there are people all around you that give, and they love to give. They love to give to the Lord's work, and it's a blessing to them. If you've not done it or been faithful or regular at it, it is unbelievable what it'll do in your life. It blesses me. My needs are supplied. Look at this. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remains forever. My needs are supplied when I give. There's no question about it. Look at this. This is interesting. Others appreciate it and pray for me. When I give, and I give to others, in turn, there's appreciation that's shown. And also, these people take my name and your name before the throne of God. I'm not going to ask you if you gave, but I know many of you gave to help the hurricane victims, okay, through Fellowship Church. Did you know I had one pastor's house that was pretty well demolished? It wasn't a total loss, but he had to pay a high deductible. And he called me, and he didn't want to have to call me. But he called me, and he said, it was my wife that talked to him. And she said to him, call Pastor Clark and he'll help you. And it was your money, ain't my money, it's your money you gave. And we called, and that fellow had a high deductible. And I said, you know what? I said, we want to give you $1,000. The guy just wept. He couldn't believe it. No, you can't. I don't need you. You do need it. You can't make your deductible. Isn't that true? Yes, it's true. And you know what? That fellow just wrote us a nice letter. He praised the Lord on our behalf because we gave to him. That pastor prays for me every day. He prays for the Congregation Fellowship Church. Why? Because we gave. Do you understand that, say? Now, I know you give to some people and they don't appreciate it. I understand that. But in the large scheme of things, I think people do appreciate it. So keep giving. Amen? And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. They pray for you. Something else, Rod? Click us. Here we go. Look at this right here. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody more blessed. Can you say that with me? You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody more blessed. I want to issue you a challenge today to this congregation. For you to find a pastor in the United States of America that's more blessed than your pastor. There's not a person, I guarantee it, there's not a pastor in the United States that's more blessed than I am. I'm a blessed man. That's why I got my smiling face up there. I am a blessed man. Listen to me. If anybody knows my life, from the hellhole I came from in Rockingham, North Carolina, to where God's brought me from, I've traveled around the world. I've done everything a man could want to do. I've got a wonderful wife of 21 years. I've got two children who I thank God have been singing and working with me and ministering with me my whole life. Their whole life. How much more of a blessing can a man have than that? Amen? Then I got a great old dog. He's going to die soon, but I love him. And then, you know, he is. I know it, but he's been a good dog. But, you know, I got a cat, man, Ford pickup truck. Listen, what I'm saying is I am blessed. And there's nobody. I'm telling you, I'd like to meet the pastor that you're going to come and bring to me. It's going to be hilarious that that guy's more blessed than I am. That is going to be funny. I long to have this meeting with this man. You know? I'm blessed. You know what? Today we're going to have a little appreciation luncheon for a few folk. And then I'm going to drive home. And I'm going to just tell you what I did recently. I've never bought my wife a new car, ever. Okay? I'm the kind of guy like other people to take a beating. Amen? Let them take a beating. I'll drive their used car. But Hurricane Charlie was good to Clark. You heard about those cars down in Punta Gorda that got all beat up? Well, I got one of them. I went to get my wife a new car. She's been faithful to me, 21 years, loved me, cared for me. And fellas, I don't know that everybody can do what I've done, but it's something I wanted to do. And so I went, and long story short, we looked for several days, and then I happened to drive into the Lincoln Mercury place. And there was a car, a Lincoln Aviator. That's a nice vehicle. And I looked at it, and it looked all dirty up in Venice. Had scribbling all over it, leaves all over it. And I looked down the side, and it had a little bit of a dent and dings and all this mess down this side. But the price you had on the window was a price I liked. And so the salesman came out to me. You were there, right, brother? See, I didn't even know that, quite frankly, that's where you were working. I didn't know that at that time. So, I mean, you weren't feeling well either that day. So, man came out to me. True story, ain't it? Man came out to me, and I asked him, I said, you know what? It hit me. I think I know the manager here. I didn't know that. And I said to the guy, I said, does he act like a Christian? He does, doesn't he? Ford Lincoln Mercury in Venice, I recommend it. Here's a salesman down here. We'll buy something from him. Good people, man. So I walked in there, and sure enough, when I saw his face, the guy comes to fellowship sometimes. And basically he said, Pastor, we're not going to make anything on you. We're going to take off whatever the insurance money was for all that damage and stuff like that. And what I'm saying is, I walked out there with a... And you, don't you see it? It ain't got any heart. You can't even see the dents in it. Brand new. What I'm saying is, now that's a little silly story to some of you. I'm saying the Lord has a unique way of taking care of Gary Clark. Amen? He takes care of me. And I'm going to get in that car today, my old Ford. I'll go home in that. She'll drive that thing. But anyway, I'm going to get home to a house on the bay. You're kidding. You live in a house on the bay. Yeah. Blame it on God, would you? Blame it on Him this afternoon when you take it to Jesus. Amen? Blame it on Him for blessing me. What I'm saying, and it's not all about stuff. I want to close with this one. I'm more blessed because I have the greatest church in America. I don't care what anybody says. There's no way some pastor could come to me and say, no, my church is better than yours. I'd knock him out. Boom! Wrong with you. Baby! You know what I'm saying? That's stupid. You're just stupid. I'm telling you, that's how I feel. Now, you might come here and think that your church is better back home. Don't tell me. All right? You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody more blessed. Amen? Why do I give? Because of the results. And we're going to fly, Raj, and we're done. We've got to let these people go. It blesses God. Listen, when you give, listen, people give thanksgivings unto God. People praise God when you give. You don't even know it. There's a lady in our church, her family comes here. Her house was destroyed by the hurricane. She had to move in with them, and now her car breaks down, and she can't get to work and do what she needs to do. She has no money. We're able to give money for clothes and for groceries, and then we fix her car for her. You know what? That lady right there wrote me the nicest note you've ever heard, and I guarantee it, that lady right there is giving thanksgiving to God for Fellowship Church. Do you see how that works? Blesses God. His name gets praised. 2 Corinthians 9, 12, and 13, we'll let you check that out because the results, okay? And then third is this. I'm motivated to give because the results and because it's proven. And we've got to fly. God has proven Himself faithful. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. God's proven Himself faithful. Why don't you check this out? Look at this. Check this out. Malachi 3:8-10. Listen to this. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? God says, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And look at this, say this with me. And prove. Say it one more time. And prove me. Now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven, I will pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Boy, I like that part, amen? How many of you like Jesus sitting at the right hand of God rebuking the devil on your behalf? Listen, well, I like that, but I'm going to be stingy and never give to God. Tough luck. It ain't happening. He rebukes Satan on our behalf when we have faith in Him and we live that life and we show that evidence in giving and living and serving. He is our defender. That's the Scripture. I'd be a nut not to give, wouldn't I? To have Jesus standing there, right, saying, God, you know, fighting the devil for me? That's awesome. And He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. That's a great verse. It's proven. Now, the last thing is this, and we're quickly done. Boy, I've had to fly. Because it's God's plan. Why do I give? I'm motivated. Because the results. Because it's proven. Because it's God's plan. You might be asking, how do you give? And all those kinds of questions. And I just put it up here for you. It's found in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 3. Where do you give? The church. You don't have to exclusively give at the church. However, that's the Bible pattern. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches, even so do you. That's the pattern for us to give when we come to church. Now, when do you give? Look at this. You give on Sunday. That's the same as Resurrection Day. Look at it. Verse 2, chapter 16. Upon the what day? Say it with me. The first day of the week. Why y'all do that on the first? We just follow the Bible patterns what we do. But you can give at other times. That's no problem. But this is the pattern. So when do you give? On Sunday. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. That's when Jesus rose from the dead. We see that in Mark 16. We also see in Acts 20 that upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, that's when Paul preached. So that's why we have church on Sunday. It's a biblical pattern that was set out, and that's when we give, is on Sunday. Who gives? You give. You give. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Say it with me now. Read it with me if you don't mind. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. So who gives? You give. That's the way it works. How much do you give? How much am I supposed to give, preacher? Here it is. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Say this with me. As God hath prospered him. So how much do you give? You give as God has prospered you. Today you've heard that I'm a blessed guy. So obviously, honey, we have to give a lot. Amen? Right? And she and I have chosen to give our lives in ministry. Why? Because we are just blessed. And that's what God has done for us. And we just got to do it. There ain't no way around it. So how much do you give? You give as God has prospered you. I got a little graphic for you. How much do you tip a waitress? How much do you tip a waitress? Not enough. Keita right over here saying, go Clark, go baby. Listen, you know why when I go to a restaurant, I can't leave her a dollar if that meal costs me $30? I can't leave her a dollar. You know why I can't leave her a dollar? Because my conscience won't let me leave her a dollar. See, that conscience says that woman's working or that gentleman is working. They don't make the wage other people make. They're out there kicking their rear there to get it done. And so I'm going to leave at least, most cases, I'm going to leave 15%. That's just the way it is. And you might not be that way. It used to be 10%. You say 20, okay, she's up to 20. Okay. All right. I'm just telling you what I do. Why do I do it? Because my conscience won't let me. I can't leave that table and leave that lady like that. That ain't happening. Now listen, remember last week the dinner table? Look, that's you. You can talk to God in prayer. The Holy Spirit helps you. Jesus makes that case to God. He saved your soul. And what I'm saying is, give and let your conscience help you. Amen? I'm not telling you what to give, but let your conscience help you. Good grief. If I'm going to tip a waitress, I think I ought to be given to the God of heaven who saved my wretched, sorry, no good soul. Amen? I ought to do that. He's blessed me. So that's how I do it. The Bible says, give as you've been prospered. And that's what I do. And I want to have a good conscience, what I want. I want to feel good. And I do. Let's keep going. It's God's plan. Why give? Why give? To help others. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Another verse talks about it to please them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contributions for the poor saints. Why give? Why give? To serve others. Do you know what this building cost us money to rent? Praise God, everything's always been supplied for fellowship, for giving. You know, donuts, we don't have a collection basket down there. Why? Because I don't want one down there. I want to give it away. Amen? We had a senior luncheon the other day, and they contested the fact. We give the main course away. Is that right, senior workers? Say, why? Because we want to be known as givers. People need the scriptures. We'll give to them. People have needs. We'll give to them. We want to be people who are known to give. Okay? Who accounts for the money here at Fellowship? And what's the scripture on that? People given that responsibility account for the funds here. 1 Corinthians 16:3, and when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality or your gifts unto Jerusalem. Tell you how giving works here at Fellowship. When you give in these offering bags, as they pass by, men collect it. I put one man in charge, particularly, and that's Clyde Slater. He's right back here. Wave at us, Clyde. Amen. Clyde does that. He takes his responsibility. He delegates it to other men. Then they go back in here, and I'm just being practical, and they count the funds that have been given. Okay? Then those funds are recorded, a little report he does, and then they're given to our church administrator, who then takes those gifts, puts them in the computer, counts them, makes the deposits and everything. If there's ever any discrepancy, Clyde can vouch for me right here. If there's ever a discrepancy, those two get together. They solve what the discrepancy is. Usually it's just a little Mickey Mouse thing, a little calculator thing, but hardly there ever is a discrepancy. Is that correct? Okay? What I'm saying is, you give because of these reasons. We're going to discharge that responsibility to the people that are in charge. They're going to make sure things are done properly in order, or they're going to be in big trouble with me. Amen? Praise God. That's the way we do things. So I want you to give. Why give? And I'm done today. I'm quitting. Why give? Say it with me. Come on, help me now. Why give? Here we go. Help me. Wake up. Come on. Why give? Did this message scare you today? I had fun doing this today. Hope you don't feel like you were browbeat. I hope you feel like you were lifted today and encouraged to do something and get on another level. Amen? I'm motivated. Say it with me. Because I'm motivated to. Why give, number two? Because of the results. Why give, number three? Because it is proven. Why give, number four? Because it's God's plan. Kevin, hit it.